Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. If you watched the last episode, I'm really excited to get this thing going because we talked
about patience
and impatience, and I was trying to be patient. You know, we want to talk to you a little bit. You might be watching this and you say, you know, some of the principles you've talked about in leadership sound good, but I'm not the point person in my organization. I'm not the one who makes the final decisions. If using kind of a sports analogy, there's some people that sit on the bench.
They're called bench warmers.
But they're valuable.
They are.
Very valuable. The depth of your bench can definitely determine the success of the starters. So let's talk a little bit. Let's give some help. Maybe we got some emerging leaders, maybe just starting in their career, just coming out of college or something like that. And let's talk to them a little bit about how do you get yourself ready if you're not the starter yet, you're not the point leader yet, you want to get to that spot, or you want to just maybe not even be the point leader, but you want to step up and be given more responsibility in the organization. Let's talk a little bit about what are some things that you can do to get yourself ready.
I think part of the culture issue, because whoever's listening is going to come from different cultures, or they've created them, or they're in it, and they could be the middle people. I think what's important is that you're still a leader.
Yes.
You may not get the title. You may not get the reps. You may not get the opportunities like the starters, you know, the stars in the organization, but they were once also in the middle.
Right.
I think that's one thing to wrestle with for all of us is no one started at the top. And I think to get to the top, there's a number of things we'll discuss today on how to get there or how, and you're not climbing the ladder, you're making yourself valuable.
Right.
That's the key.
Right? Well, you and I both know, and I think we've kind of addressed it in some episodes before, there are people that have the titles that would appear to make them the leader that don't really operate as though they're the leader. And we all know in organizations, there's that one person that though they don't have the title, you see everybody in the meeting turn and look at them to see how they're going to respond. What input are they going to give? Because we know that they're really the ones kind of that are influencing everything. And again, I love that definition that leadership's comes down to just being an influencer. Mm-hmm. You don't have the title. You don't have to have the title to be an influencer. You can do that from the bench. You can do that from anywhere in the organization.
Yeah. I think one of the places I found rewarding to me in the middle was bringing others along and kind of showing their value. Mm-hmm. 'Cause in the end, you're not going to be able to do it yourself. There's not one captain on a ship. There's a bunch of ship mates that do it. One has to either direction or hold the wheel, et cetera, check the wind, you know, make sure everybody's getting along. But I think the challenge for us as leaders and wish to be influencers is to bring others someplace.
Yes.
And I think that's where there's momentum. As a leader, you know, we're really finding out, okay, I noticed that in that person, that in person, we need them in this meeting. Oh yeah, Craig, why don't you pull together the people you think would be good? You may not have the title, but you're putting the meeting together. You're assembling the team. Yep. You're honoring the teammates and what they're good at. And I think that's so fun as leaders, but I don't see it very common.
Right, right. Well, and I would say that if you are an emerging leader, if you have a leader in your organization that comes and taps you on the shoulder, sends you that email or that text and says, I'd like you to be a part of this, don't go, no, that's okay. That's be a part of that, because that's what they're doing is what Greg just said. They're saying to you, mm-hmm. I see something here that I want to help bring out. And so I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm giving you a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And you may not even have a voice at the table yet. Maybe what they say is, I just want you to sit here and listen to what's going on. And I'm going to get together with you later and say, what were your takeaways? What did you hear in that meeting? What would you have added to that meeting? That might be what they're trying to do for you.
This is a chance that I'm going to admit something. When I was in the middle, sometimes I would disconnect in those meetings.
Mm. Sure.
And that hurt me.
Yep.
It also hurt the others that I brought there or were expecting something from me. But I'm like, well, it's not really my meeting.
Yeah.
Well, it's not someone's meeting. It's that you're meeting as a group. And so, Greg, contribute. Don't sit back and like, so what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? I have to participate or I might as well not attend.
Absolutely.
And I think fellow leaders, even if they're, you know, more top tier, they notice if you participate.
Yes.
If you are shy, I get that. But if you're not sharing, it's not shy. Not sharing is being either stingy or moody. And I can catch myself like, I gotta contribute.
Right.
This is my spot. I was asked to be here, or you know, I'm part of the team. So I think that's one of those places of jump in.
Right.
I mean, the water's fine, and there's plenty of water.
Well, one of the words that you had put in our note was this idea of kind of cross training. That you may have been hired in one position, and maybe given, you know, they gave you a job description, but if you're curious, if you're kind of looking around, I wonder what they do, and oh, I see how that part contributes, and I see it, and you begin to learn some of those other areas, you start to make yourself more valuable person, because if there's like, oh, I've kind of learned a little bit about this department,
right?
Oh man, they just had an unfortunate family situation, they're going to be out for the rest of the week. Hey, you know some of that stuff, can you step in over here? You know, we sometimes have baseball, you usually hear that term, the utility player.
Oh, I love that.
You know, okay, you're not the best second baseman on the team, but you are the best second baseman, shortstop, left fielder, third baseman on the team, because you can slide into all of those positions and you make yourself almost indispensable to that team because of your cross training.
Mm-hmm. This is going to date us a bit. Who was the fellow that played for the Tigers? He was a catcher, third baseman, went into the home run. I can picture him. He used to wear the socks real high.
Oh,
he played everywhere. I mean, he pitched.
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple of them, but I think Andrew Romine was.
Rayburn was one.
Yeah.
Romine was another.
Brandon Inge.
Inge. Yep. There we go. Inge. So you'd be like, okay, so he looks like an athlete. Oh, the only position he hasn't played is all of them.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty nice for the manager of a team.
Yes.
The leader of an organization. Like, I can plug in Craig in the outfield, the infield, and pitcher and catcher. Oh, I'm not worried about injuries.
Yep.
The depth of that bullpen then in a company, if you can jump into sales, customer service, IT, design, maybe it's leadership, maybe it's finance. If you can jump in a couple and kind of pull your weight, wow, how yep. valuable you are. But then I think for me, my reminder is if I'm going to play third base, my buddy, I'm going to bring him up and make sure he plays left field. So it's not just go alone.
Sure.
It's not, you know, our carnivore of taking over all leadership roles.
Well, and let me just a little parenthetical comment here. If you are the point leader and you've got like this utility player, sometimes they're not going to shine every day because they're all over the place, but notice the fact that they are all over the place and compliment them on that and keep them around on your team, because sometimes you don't see them, like they're not making the big plays, they're not making the big sale.
Right.
You know, they're the ones that are just, they're there and they're faithful, and you got to recognize that. But that being said, I think that the other part that I would add, if you're going to be that utility player, that cross trainer kind of thing, is if you want to get yourself promoted, if you want to get in those positions, you got to stay as a learner in those areas. You can't just go, oh, I see their job, I know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's easy. No, be curious about it and be willing to take some instruction on how to learn in those areas from the people who are already starters in those areas.
I can think of a number of times where I notice something in the potential middle person, the bullpen, like their propensity, their interest, their passion for things. I'm like, they're more excited than the person who has that job.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, right? So as a leader, as a point person, the top shelf, if you got a C-suite and you see someone, don't let them dry in the vine.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They have passion. I've coached a lot of sports. You've coached a lot of people. You played. I can't coach passion. I can only direct it.
Right.
I can't give someone passion. I can't give someone hustle.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about for utility players. They're hustle. They're hungry.
Right.
What a great way to make it through. There are so many stories. I don't wish to, you know, comment on companies, but I remember one gentleman, he went to a college. He decided to work at a Burger King. and he was kind of, you know, second shift after classes, and then, hey, would you mind running the third shift till 11 o'clock? And all of a sudden, hey, would you, we're going to buy another franchise. Would you like to be our manager? And all of a sudden, you know, fast forward, he bought the entire Burger King franchisee out, and he became it. But he first started as a janitor and a second shift burger flipper.
Yep.
But he had hunger.
Yep.
And he was humble.
Yep.
You know, that curiosity.
Well,
there's a quote I put in there for curiosity. I just think it's a great one.
Well, share it.
Yeah, well, it's just a great, it's one of the best kept secrets of a successful leader. And I never said leader like top leader. It just said a leader.
Right.
And I think that's really where we need to encourage our audience. We're all in leadership. The issue is, do we want it? Do we want more of it? How hungry are we for more leadership? Management, slightly different than leadership.
Sure.
We're all in leadership. I mean, you lead church, you lead community, you lead your home, you lead a nonprofit, you lead a business. You're in leadership in so many facets. And I don't think you turn your, you know, the buzzer off. You're always on. That's that's what's a little tiring about being in leadership.
Yep.
But the curiosity one, it's one of the best kept about, you know, pedigree is one thing, education's another, you know, favor from the board, blah, 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 blah. But curiosity is going to keep you very relevant.
Well, and let me go back to your thing about passion, because you're right. You cannot put that in somebody. Mm-hmm. They got to bring it themselves. I shared with you recently a video from Tom Brady. People know him as the starter and the Super Bowl winning quarterback. But, you know, when he was in college, at the University of Michigan, he wasn't in that position right away, and there was some frustration on his part.
And he would say, you know, I would complain all the time that the guys ahead of me were getting more opportunity than I was. There was a certain amount of repetitions in practice. The starter would get 20, the backup would get 10, and I would get 2. And I'd go in and I'd say, well, how can I ever get better? All these guys get all the reps, and I only get 2. And he said, just go in there and focus with the 2 that you got and make them as perfect as you possibly can. So I said, okay. So that's what I did. They'd put me in for those 2. Man, I'd sprint in there like it was Super Bowl 49. Let's go, boys. Here we go. What play we got? And I did really well with those 2 because I brought enthusiasm. I brought some energy and I had a little more confidence in myself. And it went from 2 reps to getting 4 reps, because those 2 were pretty good. Then I had 4 good reps. Then I got 10 good reps. And before you knew it, through this new attitude, through this new shift that Greg had said to me, you know, focus on what you can control. Focus on what you're getting, not what anyone else is getting. Whenever you get an opportunity, you take advantage of it. You treat it like it's the Super Bowl. You treat it like it's game day. Go out there and treat practice like no one else does.
Bring the passion, bring the energy, treat, even though you're only getting 2 reps and practice, do those perfectly. Do them with high energy. Do them with such excellence that they can't afford to not give you more.
I gotta get more plays. He's earning them. I think that's what that middle leader needs to realize is in the end, top leadership wants backfill. It's just a matter of, you know, how big is their shovel and are you in that pile where you're, okay, I'm in the middle and they want to bring me up a little bit. And it's not going to be all at once. There's where I think I learned some of my lessons is it's not all at once. It's going to be, why don't you take this committee? Hey, could you take this project? Hey, before we send this out, could you look at that message? All of a sudden you're in the inner circle but you've earned it over time.
Right.
Patience.
Well, yeah, that's it. Patience is good. We talked about that. You can check out the previous episode of the Craig and Greg Show. But I think also self-discipline to say, all right, I'm gonna do what I can do right here. Not gonna reach for things before it's time, but there are ways that you can let people know I'm ready for more.
Right.
You know, the things we've already mentioned, like the curiosity and the patience and the noticing like, oh, I could help out over here. And those kind of things, people will see it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they're like, okay, I see it, but like, where in the organization am I going to put you right now? I don't have opportunities to bring you to the table yet for some things. So you are going to have the patience and the self-discipline not to overreach.
Yeah.
That's I think, an important role.
If you're the lead of an organization and you don't have a spot but you also realize it's kind of intuition, which you got, you're gifted with that. I don't want to lose that person either. So if they leave, how do I keep them engaged for that right time? Because you never know.
Well, you're right. One of the things that I started doing years ago, and you may not like this, I threw out job descriptions. To me, I got rid of them because to me, when I said to somebody, I brought them in and said, here's your job description, I might be asking them to do things that they're not as passionate about, not as gifted in. What I wanted to do was to say, where are you gifted? Where are you going to most benefit the organization? Where are you going to most come alive? And let me craft your responsibilities around the spot where you're gifted. And so when I start to see somebody that's really passionate and okay, I'm going to start, start crafting something. I'm going to start creating something. Even if I have to like create a new title or a new, you know, thing that we're doing just so I can get them plugged in. That's what I want to do.
Because
I don't want to lose them because it's hard to find those people that are willing to learn and have the passion
and some talent.
Yep.
I think that's the hard part for most leaders that we talk to, Craig, is, you know, trying to keep everybody happy is what you hear often, right? Just trying to keep everybody happy. Okay, that's more of a feeling.
Right.
But when you get someone who's passionate and they're committed, plug them in.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, delegate all of the skills or all of the opportunities away from others to them, but you almost have to, I don't want to call it like, you have to pick some successors.
Sure.
Like we, in the end, they got to be around the table too.
Yep.
And I was part of one organization where the guy would bring one of us in for the experience, as you talked about. Well, you know, when you're on the table, you know, we're long in the teeth here, you know, you just listen and watch and afterwards I'll catch up with you. So they gave us a chance, the younger ones, to sort of get a feel for what is it like. Before we actually had an earned seat at the table. Yep. And that was very helpful to us. Very helpful.
Well, and I think, so there's a couple of terms that we throw around and I'm going to let you elaborate on this a little bit. In our note that we had shared, you said mentoring from the inside, coaching from the outside. I found that interesting. I know where you're going with this, but I'm going to have you explain it because I think a lot of people will take that mentoring and coaching and say, well, oh, those are the same, just different terms for the same thing. And they're not. So when you're, especially in this, like moving people up, how would you define that?
I think if I was a chief person and I had, let's just say my runway was 8 years, that's my goal. I mean, you know, I've told the board or whatever. My goal at that point is to make sure that the next wave of leaders can replace those of us moving on, sunsetting, finishing, you know, et cetera, exiting. Mentoring, I find to be more from the inside because it's going to be cultural. It's going to be industry. Like what industry are we in? And there's going to be nuances. So if you're in the financial world or you're in the hospitality world, they're not the same mentoring.
Right.
So mentoring from the inside because we want to replicate, you know, the amazing army of leaders we have. Coaching from the outside isn't about what's inside. It's about what's inside the individual leader. So often we've been called in to coach people unrelated to their organization. They might give us some specs or some ideals, but overall, we're trying to develop them as a person. In mentoring, you're developing the leadership for the org.
Right.
Coaching could also be like, okay, so I coached you and you really attained some cool things and you got an opportunity in another organization because you're now a valuable leader.
Right.
That's where I find the difference. Mentoring and coaching, I get it. It's close, but mentoring often is someone who is established, helping, bringing along, including someone who's emerging.
Right. Well, and I would.
Did I do okay on that?
Yeah. Well, and I would say like inside of an organization, if somebody said to me, hey, we've got an emerging leader we'd like you to mentor, I would probably say to them, I can't do that. I can't mentor an individual leader inside your organization. You can, and I might be able to help you coach. I might be able to coach you on how to mentor them.
Excellent.
Because I can't do, like you said, it's the culture and it's very specific. I wouldn't know how to mentor that person to fit into that specific culture.
Yep.
I can coach on, here's how you should set up a mentoring process inside your organization.
Excellent.
Here's how you should raise up the next level of leaders. Right. But I can't tell you specifically what kind of skills and specific things that you need inside that individual once you do identify them.
Yeah.
So I do think, I think they both have their place. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, oh, well, we're going to coach and we get rid of mentoring. That's no good. Oh, we're just going to mentor and we don't need a coach. Well, you're holding yourself back there mm-hmm. as well too.
I wonder sometimes when an organization has a mentoring system or a culture or a program, that's inside skills.
Yes.
You know, that's I don't want to call it transactional, but they're not leadership traits coached. It's a mentoring traits, like almost finished, polished.
Sure.
Someone's already in, they're a branch manager of a bank. Use that as an example. They'd like to be a loan officer. They match the senior loan officer with a branch manager because they want her to be a loan officer yes. eventually. I wouldn't know that transition at all in a bank. Nope. I've never worked in a bank.
Right.
But if they said, hey, we're looking at developing these four assistant managers to be the next branch managers when we have an expansion, can you get them ready as leaders? That's coaching.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with what their culture necessarily dictates. But you can also, you know, maybe even include a little bit of a word of consult.
Sure.
So coach, consult.
Yep.
But I can see what you're saying. When you tell you that people will combine mentoring and coaching are kind of similar, it could be. I just think one's inside, one outside.
Yep. Well, and if you're looking for a coach, check out MaximizeLeadership.com. We have a whole page on there about coaching. You'll see the bios of some of the coaches that are there. But really, I think the value on that page is the form at the bottom that's just kind of open-ended. You can explain to us, this is the situation, kind of like how Greg was just saying, maybe we're trying to move some people up in the organization. We're trying to add something. We're trying to refine something. Don't know what to do. You know, help us out. We might be the ones to say, hey, we can't mentor those people. We can help coach you to mentor them, or maybe we can provide the coaching overall, but mm-hmm. just fill out that form and then we can respond appropriately.
Well, you can kind of give us some targets.
Right.
That's really the key is like, so what are you hoping this would do for that person?
Right.
Because you picked them.
Right.
You know, you hired them, you picked them, and you gave the name. So oftentimes the organization pays us to coach. For a window for that person to kind of get ready, whatever yep. that looks like. But mentoring is fascinating. I think often it could be someone like I've heard of schools doing mentoring programs. I'm like, is it really mentoring? I mean, it's a business person in the community mentoring a student who's going to be a business major. It's not really mentoring. That's almost right. a community leader
sure.
sharing. But I kind of find the delineation is between the walls.
Right.
Inside mentoring, because you're trying to get them replicated for the emerging person to kind of move into the established. Coaching, though, is so exciting, too, because it's the breakthroughs for people, partly because they're not thinking with the confines of their company.
Sure.
It's just... you're investing in me. You're coaching me. You're not coaching the bank. Yeah, I'm coaching you. So
right.
you could be awesome at that bank. You could be awesome as a financial planner. You could be awesome as a financial officer of a company. It's numbers. I'm not mentoring in numbers. I'm coaching you as a person. So
and I would add too, if you maybe you say in my organization I don't have anybody like that that can mentor me. You can find, I would still call them mentors if you find like a good author that you that you know you really kind of connect with. You're like, boy, this author's style, you know, just really, I get it. Then read those books and kind of consider them as a mentor from a distance, excellent. You know, that or blog posts or podcasts that go along with that. You can develop yourself because, again, like we're talking about in getting yourself ready, people will notice that. People in your organization will say, you know, you keep expanding. You got more knowledge. You got more skills.
You're growing.
Yeah, and then they'll see that.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It's I think to, you know, in the middle is an exciting time because you're going to be moving with the organization.
Sure,
you're not stuck there.
Yep.
Now there are maybe some stories where they're stuck, but we're speaking mostly of when you're on the move and you're hungry.
Yep.
And you're humble and you're curious. They're going to find a spot for you. And I've also learned from big organizations, man, some are really, really good at mentoring. And the organization had to find a way to compensate that person because they were very effective, and some aren't and need to grow in that space.
Well, and I'd say as a word of encouragement to those emerging leaders, if you are doing all the things that we're talking about, you're staying curious, you're staying self-disciplined, you're bringing the passion, and nobody in your organization recognizes that, I promise you somebody outside your organization is going to recognize that too.
Yeah.
You know, it'll never be wasted effort if you do all of these things that we're talking about. If you're staying curious, you're a learner, you're mm-hmm. finding mentors, even if they're from a distance, it's going to get rewarded at some point.
And it's not a quick turnaround. It's not a quick change. You don't get the baton right away.
Right.
So just be patient.
Yep.
We're using that word again.
Yeah, there we go. Well, hey, that's what we're here for too, is to provide these resources to help you excel and reach as far as you want to reach and set new goals and reach those goals. So if we can help you, again, go to maximizeleadership.com, check out the coaching page, check out the other resources that we have there, fill out that form and just say, hey, this is where I am. What can you do for me? How can you help me out? And we'll be happy to share that with you. You can also reach out to us in other ways. If you've got some questions or maybe you've got a topic that you'd like us to address here, leave that as a comment below here on the video, or you could go to X and you could tweet at us at Maximize Podcast and just say, how about this for a topic? Or maybe give us some feedback on the topics that we've covered here. And we'd love to dialogue with you a little bit more. We're here to resource you. We believe that that's very important when somebody else can speak into your life and give you those resources. So we want to do that for you. So stay tuned here. If you haven't already, make sure that when you subscribe to our channel, hit that notification bell so that you're notified whenever some of this great content drops for you. We'll be around for you. So stay tuned.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.